Good morning, everybody. It's good to be preaching with you here this morning. When I saw I was doing Mark chapter 9, the transfiguration, the thing that kind of went through my head is, like, what was the purpose of the transfiguration? It's really amazing that Jesus transformed himself before Peter, James, and John. He was showing in radiant white, and it's an awesome image for us, but it just goes through my head, why? Why did Jesus transform himself before Peter, James, and John? And reading commentaries, they kind of pointed me to the context, which is always important to look at the context. What happened in Mark chapter 8 leading up to Jesus going on the mountain with Peter, James, and John? And as we read Mark chapter 8, we see that Jesus made a really big revelation to the disciples. He told them that he was going to die. And we read that Peter took Jesus aside and rebuked him. And that's when Jesus said to Peter, you know, get me behind me, Satan. Because what Jesus was revealing was so important to the disciples. And then the next thing Jesus says to them, he says, the person that wishes to gain his life, to gain the world, will lose it. But the person who loses his life for my gospel will gain it. I don't know about you, but if I was one of the disciples and I heard Jesus, this person that I've been following, say that he's going to die and that if I want to gain my life, that I'm going to have to die, my faith would be a little shaken. I might be questioning what's going on, just a little bit. And I think this was the case with the disciples. We see from Peter's reaction that what Jesus just revealed to them was so far outside of their understanding that their faith was shaken. They were questioning everything that was happening. And so here Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on the mountain, and he's transformed before them. And Peter's ready to build an altar to Elijah, Moses, and Jesus who are there. And at that moment, God speaks from heaven. And it's the second time we read in Scripture that God speaks from heaven. And the first time being the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, before he's ever performed a miracle, when he's baptized, the Spirit descends on Jesus, and God says, "This is my Son, whom I love." And once again, right after Peter says this, God speaks from heaven. And he says, "This is my Son, whom I love." And he adds one more thing. God says, "Listen to him." And we read that as the disciples were coming down off of the mountain, they're not talking about the fact that God spoke from heaven, that Jesus was changed. What they're talking about is, what does it mean to rise from the dead? What does it mean that Jesus is rising from the dead? You see, their faith was shaken, but it was affirmed in the transfiguration. Their faith was strengthened by what happened, and they listened to Jesus. They began questioning, what does it mean that he's going to raise from the dead? Faith is something that I think a lot of us struggle with understanding. Faith is kind of like the word love. We say faith about a lot of different things, and we mean a lot of different things when we say the word faith. What does it mean to truly have faith? This morning, I want to use a little illustration. I've got a cup somewhere over here. So I'm going to ask for you guys to raise your hand. If I had you know, a gun, a BB gun or something, how many of you guys think, I don't know, from standing over here, that I could hit that cup with a gun, if I could shoot that cup? Raise your hand if you think I could. All right, so most of you guys believe that I could hit that cup. And we call that faith, that belief, faith, that I could hit that cup. Now, how many of you, if I was going to ask you to come up here, stick that cup on your head and let me shoot it off of your head, would still have faith that I could hit that cup? How many of you would be willing to come up here and put that cup on your head? Raise your hand. I see one hand, maybe. Some of the younger kids, That's childlike faith right there. What if you saw me shoot the cup first? Or what if you saw me shoot the cup off of somebody else's head? How many of you would be willing to come up here and put this cup on your head? Okay, I get some maybes, some maybe more. Hebrews 11 tells us, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. See, you can see me shoot the cup, and maybe that strengthens your faith, but you've never seen me shoot the cup off of your head. To put your life in my hands, to trust that I can shoot that cup, that's a whole different story, a whole different type of faith than believing that I can shoot that cup. We read throughout the New Testament this idea that we are saved through faith. But it is not faith that saves us. And this is a concept that is really tricky to understand. It's really tricky to explain to kids what this means, that we're saved through faith and not by faith. To understand that Christianity is unlike any other religion and that we don't save ourselves, God saves us. You see, Christianity often is like this cup. You can believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. The Bible tells us the demons believe and shudder. But if your faith has no action, you're not willing to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior through baptism, that belief does nothing. But it is not our belief in Jesus Christ that gives him the power to save us from the dead. Just like it's not your belief that I can shoot this cup off of your head that would give me the power to shoot the cup off your head. I have that ability in and of myself, just as Jesus has the ability to save you in and of himself. But coming up here and sticking the cup on your head enables me to shoot that cup off of your head, just as coming to Jesus through baptism enables Jesus to save you from the dead, which is amazing. It's incredible. It is the gospel message. But all too often, we have a faith that's dead, a faith that's unwilling to come up and put this cup on your head. It's kind of like a person who has a really bad headache. They take an ibuprofen bottle and they read that the ibuprofen can help relieve their headache. And they believe, you know, I believe this ibuprofen can heal my headache, but they don't take any ibuprofen. That belief does them no good. It doesn't remove the headache from them. It's what we would call a dead faith, which really isn't faith at all, because faith has to be accompanied by action, by our works. Faith takes effort. It's kind of like we take one step with faith and another step with works. As we read in, we read on, in Mark chapter 9, we see a man who's struggling in his faith. Jesus comes down off of the mountain, and here are the rest of the disciples, still probably shaking a little bit in their faith, and they're arguing with these teachers of the law, and Jesus asks what's happening, what's going on. Verse 17 reads this, a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I put up with you? How long shall I stay with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsions, and he fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." To which Jesus replied, "If you can, everything is possible for the one who believes." See, this man wanted his son to be saved. He wanted Jesus to have the power to save his son, but he wasn't sure if Jesus had that power. This man had doubt. He didn't have disbelief. He had doubt. He wasn't sure that Jesus could do it. Jesus' disciples couldn't do it. And so Jesus says in reply, if you can, everything is possible for the one who believes. To which the man immediately replied, I do believe. Help me overcome my disbelief. See, this man was struggling. He was struggling with his faith. He wasn't sure that Jesus had the power that he needed. How many of us have been like this man and we're not sure that Jesus has the power to help us, to save us? We read another time in Scripture where people ask Jesus to do something. In John 6:28, and then in Matthew 12:38, two accounts we see the Pharisees come to Jesus and ask him for the sign. In Matthew 12:38 says, then some Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. And he answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. See, there's a difference between what happened when this man said, help me in my disbelief, and when the Pharisees asked Jesus for a sign here. See, the Pharisees, the teachers, they didn't believe that Jesus had the power. They had disbelief, different from doubt. When we hear doubt, sometimes when we say doubt, it means that we don't believe. But when this man doubted, it means his faith was shaken like the disciples. He was questioning. Here, the Pharisees, they don't believe. And Jesus is saying, you're not going to get a sign, which is funny to hear him say because he performed so many signs that they could have seen. But he says, you're not getting a sign except for one sign. Essentially, he says, I'm going to die and raise from the dead. It's a pretty big sign. But he knows it's not going to change the heart of the Pharisees. Where is your heart at? Are you struggling with believing that Jesus has power in your life, in this world? As there's so much turmoil going on in the world, do you believe that Jesus has power to change the world, to change your life? We read that Jesus did have power. That man said, help me in my unbelief. And what did Jesus do? He drove out that spirit. That spirit left that boy. Jesus healed him. And then that day, he strengthened that man's faith. In my life, I have had times where I doubted. The time that is the clearest in my mind is the time when I should have doubted God, doubted Jesus, the least probably of any other time in my life. I spent a summer working at a camp for children of prisoners. And I've told this story many times before because it had such a profound impact on my life. See, I've seen God do incredible things, answer incredibly specific prayers throughout my time at that camp. And he did wonderful things in the lives of these campers, these kids. But I was exhausted. I got up at 5:30 in the morning, and I had night watch. It was like after 11 every night that I was going to bed. And there were some things about the way that some people were being treated at the camp that I didn't like. Some things in leadership that I felt like I really needed to have a conversation with some of the leaders about what was going on. But I was exhausted, and I was not ready for that conversation. I really didn't want to have that conversation because I felt like with how tired I was, it was going to end badly. So one night as I was walking back from night watch, I laid down in the field and I looked up at the stars and I started praying. I was like, God, I don't know what to do. I need help. And I don't normally do this, but I kind of had a Gideon moment, where Gideon throws out the fleece and asks God to make just the fleece do it. I laid down on the ground and I said, God, if you really, really want me to talk to these people without a doubt, then send a shooting star in the next 30 seconds. And I was like, not that I won't if you don't, But if you really, really want me to, then send the shooting star. And so I laid on that ground and I counted. And believe me, I counted slow. You know, I got to 30 and I was like, 30, like waiting. And so nothing came. And so I laid down there and I was like, all right, God, like I'm back to square one. I have no idea what to do here. And so I got up and I started walking back to my bed. And as I was walking, I was hit with some of the most doubt I've ever been hit with in my adult life. I just thought, like, what if everything that I've been doing has been for nothing? What if I've given my life to God and God doesn't really exist? This was all for nothing. And that scared me. That thought that rushed in my head scared me more than any thought I'd had before. And in that moment, I prayed the prayer that this man had. It came to my mind. And I said, God, you know that I believe in you. Help me right now in my doubt. Help me in my fear right now. And this is something that you can only ever experience for yourself, but I saw the biggest shooting star I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, it lit up the sky in front of me, and I was good the rest of that camp. Like, I was like, God loves me. He cares about me. He wants me to have faith. He wants to strengthen my faith. He wants me to serve him. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him." What do you do with this? With this knowledge that faith is so important in our relationship with God. Without faith, we cannot enable Jesus to save us. But all of us have doubt. Every single one of us has had a moment or two or three or more in our life where we've questioned, is God real? How has God allowed this to happen? Why am I hurting like I'm hurting right now? Why did God allow my loved one to die? Why has God allowed my loved one to get sick? Why has God allowed me to go through these trials that I've gone through, these temptations that I've had? If God is real, why am I experiencing this? And the truth is that God wants to be with you and strengthen you through all of those experiences. But like the boy's father, you have to be willing to take your doubt to God in faith and say, God, I have faith. Help me in my disbelief. You have to be willing to come and put your life in Jesus' hands. Like Jesus said, we have to be willing to lay down our lives and trust him and trust that he is going to save us. Would you please pray with me? Father, I thank you for being a God who loves us, who cares about us so much that you allow us to choose something other than you, God. You allow us to not put our trust in you. And sometimes that's kind of hard for us to understand, God, why you would allow us to sin, why you allow sin to go on in the world. But God, I know that you are the perfect gentleman, that you will only save those who desire to be saved. God, I ask this morning that you be with every single one of us, God, when we're questioning you, when we're questioning our salvation, God, I ask that you would strengthen us, that you would shine your light, Jesus, on us, and allow us to see you in all of your glory and your beauty, and know that you are God, and that you have the power over death. We love you, and it's in your Son's name that I pray. Amen.